Our gospel scripture for this evening comes from the 10th chapter of John. In your pew Bibles, it is on page 872. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this gospel text, we hear about Jesus as the gate, the door to the sheepfold. Jesus says, "I am the gate." Rob Fouquet begins this chapter with a quick explanation of this sheep gate. And while many of you might understand sheep gates, I did not. This isn't a door that swings open. It's not on a hinge. It's actually just an opening, a space in the fence, in the wall. Nothing to be shut. But a sheep gate would be the shepherd literally lying down in front of that opening, acting as the gate, providing comfort and safety by laying down their life, putting their life in harm's way to protect the sheep in the pen. What a wonderful image. Jesus, as this sheep gate, is comforting. The metaphor continues in John. We cut it off a little bit early, because Jesus also says, "I am the good shepherd." Now that one I know you know about. He alludes to it in the beginning in John 1-10. The sheep will only follow their master's voice, that shepherd voice. We hear what would make a good shepherd in this text. "I am the good shepherd. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. But the good shepherd protects, cares." In verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." More words of what makes a great shepherd. A person who would be combing the sheep upon their entry to this gate, looking for parasites, injuries, making sure everyone is healthy, cared for, that their needs are met. Both of these texts form one image for us: Jesus the shepherd. Jesus the good shepherd, the one who acts as our gate. Jesus, who was willing and has set down his life for us, the one who wants us to feel that comfort and love and care that a sheep, one of the flock, would feel in the presence of its master, the one who loves and cares for them. Something else happens in this metaphor as well. Before it, we have to understand even more about that gate. Fouque writes, if people didn't enter through the gate, they had to climb over the wall, which most likely meant they were thieves, that didn't mean that they wanted to hurt those sheep. They just wanted to steal them. Hurting sheep would actually be the last thing a thief would want to do to the sheep. They want to sell the sheep, make money off the sheep. Thievery, right? Not hurting the sheep. Which got me to thinking, what are things that we have done that cause unintentional hurts and harms? I'm pretty sure if I ask you to imagine someone in your life who has unintentionally caused harm or hurt or pain for you, to you, someone who has been caught up in their own wants and perceived needs, someone who is unaware of the effect that they have of their actions, someone who has been blind to the needs of others and focused only on themselves, we could all probably think of someone. Don't call out names. It's not the pastors all the time. Maybe some of them, well, we're human too. Not only can we probably think of someone, but I would wager that each of us at some point have actually also acted as a thief. We have been someone who has caused hurt or harm or pain. We are sinful creatures, but we didn't mean to. We didn't necessarily even realize it. Have we put ourselves near a generous person so that we could receive that generosity? Have we perhaps artificially befriended someone because they were popular and we wanted to be liked? Don't we all like being liked? Have we perhaps at some point in our lives only talked to certain people when we ourselves are in need and not asking how they are doing or ever considering their needs? And how often have we treated God in this same manner? Only coming to God when we perceive a need, when we are in crisis, when we want something out of that interaction with God. How often in our prayers have we treated God like the magic genie in a bottle, who grants wishes instead of seeking God in prayer and receiving God's love always? Jesus is the gate for the sheep. Jesus is the protector who lays down his life for us, the beloved children of God, all of us, all of creation. Jesus, the good shepherd who looks out for us, walks with us, examines us when we are going out and when we are coming in, when we are out to pasture, so we can enjoy God's creation, and when we have come home to find renewal, refreshment, replenishment, safety. Hopefully, you are guessing where I'm going now. Fouque points out that we are sheep. No real surprise there. But we are sheep because we go out and we come in. All who have gathered here tonight have come in. We have returned to this place of worship, to this community of faith, so that we can be near the flock, hear the word of God, be replenished and renewed, receive forgiveness and hope through Holy Communion with our brothers and sisters in Christ. One body. One flock. We also go out into the world to enjoy God's creation. We walk in nature. We experience the sunshine, the cold breeze, that 170-degree day last week. I want spring. That's my sidebar. But we also experience community. We serve one another. We serve at the food pantry. We find the needs of others in our communities. We help and support the Hope Fund. There are countless ways in which we are united together out in the world, in the field. So then, how can we, together as faithful followers of Christ, live lives that exemplify and express Christ's love as Christ is the gate and the good shepherd we hear of tonight? Sounds easy, right? We love and we trust in Jesus. That's all we need to do. He's our good shepherd. He lays his life down for us. We can do that. And yet there are days where we will struggle. And God is with us through those struggles, through our pain. We are able to rest in God, to feel God's peace and love, because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has truly laid down his life for us, for our pain, so that we can focus on Jesus in the midst of our struggles, the shepherd who lays himself in front of us, providing protection and care and love through all things. There's an amazing and powerful image used in this book, explained in a way that was enlightening for me, and I hope it works for you as well. Perhaps it helps to remind us of Christ's hope and protection. Perhaps you noticed it was just St. Patty's Day, and people like to say good luck, right? What is a symbol of good luck in our culture? You're all confused unless you've read the book. Cross your fingers, right? Right? You want to do well on a test, you cross your fingers. You want your team to win, you cross your fingers. Well, apparently, and I did not know this, crossing your fingers was a sign that early Christians used to identify themselves to one another as Christians in a subtle but yet obvious way. Right, you're walking down the street, you could walk with your hands crossed and nobody's really noticing, but yet you can tell, you can see. And it reminds you, it's a cross, it reminds you of Christ's love for you dying on the cross. Fouquet posits a theory as to how this sign of Christianity became one of good luck. He says that early Christians made the sign not only to identify themselves, but to also give themselves strength, to have a physical connection to their faith, a cross that cannot be taken away from them. Similar to the cross of Christ marked on our foreheads at baptism or during anointings, the ashes we received 2 weeks ago. When Christians were on trial, they perhaps crossed their fingers as a physical connection to their faith. Others saw those crossed fingers, saw how calm that convicted Christian was, and said, "Wow, they must be lucky." Mind you, he has no proof of this story, but I love the idea that crossing our fingers for good luck truly means that we are blessed, that we cross our fingers because God loves us, because the Good Shepherd lays his life down for us. As faithful followers of Christ's love, we live lives in which we trust and rely on God's care of us. When the world is harsh, when we are hurting or in pain, when we struggle, when we suffer, when we experience loss, we come through the gate to be renewed and refreshed and revived in God's love and strength. we come home. As faithful followers of Christ's love, we live lives in which we share God's love through our interactions with others as they too struggle or hurt or pain or suffer loss. We act as God's shepherd and we give of our time, our care, our compassion for God's creation. And perhaps we do so crossing our fingers. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you have given us such a great gift in the life of Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus being the gate, the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. Help us to see this gift, to be renewed and refreshed by this gift that gives us life, hope, and love in this world. May we share this love with others. Give of ourselves for all who are in need of your love. May we live lives that show Christ's love and care in all that we say and do. Amen. I ask you to rise as you are able and join in singing our next hymn, number 547.